My Heavenly Father, thank you, my dear God, for how wonderful you are, how merciful, how forgiving, how patient. Oh, dear God, I just thank you for the body of believers here. Thank you for all the people, Lord, that you bring here. I pray for them and myself that you would continue through your Holy Spirit to bless us and help us, Lord, every day to be an example of you to others, that somehow, some way, Lord, they would see you and not see us, that they would come to know you and fellowship and walk with you, my Jesus. Thank you, my dear God, for how merciful and loving you are every day of my life. We pray that you would bless the service and bless your holy word, dear God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're in Psalm 51. And Psalm 51 is a prayer that David, after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and after he had done some things, one of the prophets came to him and shared with him a story that really convicted him of everything that he had done. And Psalm 51 is an outpouring of how he felt, what he was going through. And I thought a lot of times we sin against God. Sometimes we don't mean to, and sometimes we do. We let our anger, our frustrations, difficult things come along the way, and sometimes we don't really know what to do. And instead of asking God for help, we turn to our neighbor or turn to somebody that we know and try to discuss with them something that only God can help us with. And it's something that God is there for us, and God loves us, and I hope that the words in this psalm that David shared would touch your heart. I would tell you that the most important thing would be the honesty and the integrity of your confession to God. If you don't mean what you're saying, then I wouldn't do it, because you see, God knows our heart, he knows our minds, and he understands us better than we understand ourselves.
Amen.
So I pray as we read this that you would follow along, because I'll read the psalm first, and then I, by the grace of God, I got 30 things that God had given me about this psalm, and I will share them with you. And there are things that hopefully will bless and help you, because the Word of God says that we all have fallen short of the glory of God, that we're all sinners. And so at one point or another, I believe that hopefully when you do make a mistake, when you sin, you come before God and you confess your sin, and hopefully you'll learn from it to move on and keep going in a way that your fellowship and your relationship with God grows instead of widens. Amen? In verse 1, the word says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may replace. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it to you. Yet do not delight in burnt offering, you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. This, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings. Hold burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. One of the things that we get in here was the agony of what happens when you have something weighing on you that is not right. And a long time ago, I had somebody tell me, Pastor Joe was teaching me about that we have a hole inside of us, and the only one that can fill that hole is God. And when we sin, we open up that hole. And we're looking to fill that hole. Something that we believe will make us whole. And we forget that if it hadn't been for God, we'd have never had that hole filled. The whole world is looking for all kinds of things, and they believe that those things are going to give them, make them feel good and what have you. And there's a word in this psalm that really affects you and I. Jesus said, my joy I give unto you, and my peace, not as the world gives. Because, see, when he comes in, it gives you a completely different view and a completely different feeling within yourself as a human being. I remember many years ago, my son had a whole bunch of tickets, and my wife and I wanted to help him. You know, he was a little bit here, a little bit there, but they mounted out to be about 10, 12 tickets. And he was afraid to drive because he felt the police would pick him up. It turned out that we took him down. We hired an attorney, and we took him down, and it cost $200 to clear all the things that he had. And on the way home, he tells my wife and I, he said, you know, I never felt so good. He said, I feel like I can go anywhere. I'm free. And I'm looking at the story of David here in a way that this weight that he had of this sin was so heavy upon him. You see, he had not sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah, her husband. He had sinned against God. And the relationship that he had, okay, was broken. And this is something that so many people misunderstand, that when you break that relationship, okay, some people think, I'll just let it go. It doesn't work that way. God loves you. When we read the Word of God, and it tells us about all the different things that happen when God judges, when God comes back and takes a look, okay, at everything that this nations have done, leaders have done, whether they have, which hopefully they come to know the Lord and repent and confess their sins, because if they don't, they're going to be judged for those things. And you see, you and I, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we've been given a blessing that we don't really understand completely. We think we do, you know. But you see, it was like my son that day. He wanted to thank my wife and I for what we had done. But really, we hadn't done nothing for him. The only one that did was God. And it took a while for him to learn that. And this is where you and I are at, that by the grace of God, we're here. Amen? Yeah, see, it wasn't the fact that we're working at something. No, Jesus Christ did what we needed so that you and I could have that liberty and that joy that only he could give. Amen? Yeah, so these are just some of the things that by the grace of God, when you have trouble and you are feeling troubled, many of us do a lot of different things to compensate for that. I think that sometimes people want, and they express themselves about doing makeover, doing different things that will help them, maybe they think will make them feel better. But you see, when you have an anguish, something that's eating at you, okay, those things will not go away that way. There's only one way, and that's for us to humble ourselves before God. David was in a very strong mental anguish in his life. He had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and he, of course, he had her husband killed, and it was something that her husband was a good man. Yeah. But you see, the whole thing about the sin that he had committed wasn't against them, was because they were just like you and I. They're sinners. The Word of God says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. So, you see, a lot of times, I think people want to make so much right with the person that they feel they've offended. And when you read this psalm, I hope you understand and see that David is not talking to Bathsheba And he's not trying to make anything right with her. He's trying to make everything right with God. And this is where each and every one of us need to understand that for us to have that joy and that peace, we only have it when we're right with God. Outside of that, you can't buy it, you can't do anything, you can't change it. The only one that can give it to you is God. And that comes by the fact that you, okay, have come before God and asked God, all right, for mercy, that you have humbled yourself. I read an interesting story about a judge who had some people that had done something wrong, and they came before him, and they were asking the judge for mercy. Can you please forgive us for what we have done? We're sorry. We promise never to do it again. We want to do this and this. And the judge said, you know, he said, I appreciate you coming to me. He said, but I can't give you what you're looking for. He said, you'll have to go someplace else. And they didn't get it. And eventually, somebody told them, you need to go before God. He's the only one that can give you mercy. Amen? Nathan was a prophet of God, and he came to David. And he told David what he had done. And David said, I have sinned against God. And Nathan said, but God has done something for you. And when I read that story in the Bible, I was like, wow, yeah. Because the word says, Nathan told David, God has forgiven you. And I'm taking a look at that and I'm going like, wow. You see, there's a lot of people that want to make a statement about sins and about different things that happen and what have you. And they say, well, God will forgive you for everything except that. No, God will forgive you for everything. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for what? All our sins. Everything, not just one, everything. Not only that, but when you got saved, God knew what you were going to do in the future. And it's just like this psalm. We read it and we can see the anguish, we can see the feelings, the emotions that David was going through. But when you come towards the end of the psalm, you get to see that God answered that prayer that he had done before God. And the reason that he had answered that was the integrity and the honesty that he had in coming before God. And that's the same way with you and I. If you can't be honest with God, you can't be honest with anybody. Amen? David is crying out for mercy, and he's asking God for mercy. You know, when we do something wrong, okay, so many times in my life, I felt, why? Why did I do such a stupid thing? Why did I say what I shouldn't have said? When God is so good to me every day of my life, that when I wake up in the morning, I have a joy in my life and I have a peace in my life that no one else could give me. I get up and I have a nice, clear conscience in my mind, my heart, and I get up and I feel good and I start doing things. I start getting phone calls from people that I love, people who love me, and what a blessing that is. I wish that for each and every one of you. The only one that can give you that is the Lord, no one else. Amen? When you take a look at the outcome of the sin, okay, remember that David ruined the life of a beautiful woman. Okay, because every time that this woman came to see David, everybody in the castle, everybody that worked for David, knew what was going on. Amen? The example of who you are and how you are is lived out every day of our lives. Amen? You see, our family knows who we are. Sometimes our neighbors don't, but sometimes our neighbors will get to know who we are. I recently had a gentleman that came to see me, and he wanted to clear his heart about some things that he had done, and he wanted to talk to me about it, and I said, yeah, I'll meet you at the church. And we got here, and we started talking, and when he started telling me all that he wanted to do, I said, is there something inside of you that is not right? And he said, why do you ask me that? And I said, well, you're trying to fix something by what you're doing. And I said, I think there's something more to your life than what you're telling me. And he said, well, he said, I offended my neighbor greatly. And he said, I didn't try to make it right. And I said, why? He said, because my neighbor is not from here, not from our country. And I said, well, I said, does that make a difference? And he said, yes, it does. And I said, well, tell me. I said, if you were in another country, I said, would you like to be treated the way you treated this person? And he said, well, of course not. I said, well, what makes you think that you're better than that person? And I said, now, before you do anything for us here, or your donations of what you want to do for the church here, I said, you need to go. And you need to go and make that right with God. Yeah. And see, this is something. The Word of God tells us that we're to examine ourselves when we take communion, to check ourselves and see where we're at. Not where we're at by ourselves, but where we're at with who? God. See, because He knows what's going on in our lives. This person was trying to fix something, and you can't fix it that way. It doesn't work that way. The only way is by you coming before God. Yeah. David was angry. He was angry at himself because he was the king. He had a lot of power, authority, and yet he didn't use it in the right way. Sometimes our children learn everything that there is except who God is and how sad that is. I had a gentleman call me yesterday, and he was telling me about a message that he had given to a person that he knows, and he sent him a text. And at the bottom of the text, he said, God loved you, thank you. And the person responded back, and he said, don't ever text me with that again. And so he called me and he said, Lou, I was just, and I said, no, that, don't take it that way. I said, the man's relationship with God is not one that's right. That's why he felt that way. You see, we're here to serve God and to glorify God. And when we step out of that and we start doing things on our own, be careful, okay, because you're going to fall. Remember Adam and Eve, when they started out and God came to visit them and they had ate of the fruit. You remember that Adam blamed his wife. He said, it was a woman you gave me. Yeah. We need to take responsibility for our own selves, not to blame others, but to understand that God knows and God can help each one of us the way we are. See, we're not perfect. Yeah. David acknowledges that his sin started from the time that he was born. Same way with all of us. Okay? We cry and you get attention. So you learn to do certain things so that you can get help. But as you grow older, you come to know and understand that the Word of God said He meets your needs. I don't know about you, but I'm very grateful to God for that. Because by God's grace, I don't need anything. I don't carry a sign saying that. I ask God to help me to do my best by the way that I live. I do my best. I want to help others. I want to encourage others. I want to serve others. When you come to understand the compassion, the forgiveness, and the love and the help of God, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. Because, see, God doesn't charge you for it. It's something that He gives you, something that He wants to give you. Yeah. You see, you weren't looking for God, but God was looking for you. And that's why your life turned around. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. When you come to God and you're honest and letting Him know what's going on, also acknowledge to Him the truth of your weaknesses that you have in your life. You see, we have flaws. We're not made that way. The flaws that we have, sometimes others see, and others see us for what we are. Yeah. But yet, God loved us just the way we are. Amen? And that's an important thing because, you see, He's the one that really matters. See, when we try to please others and we forget about God, we're doing the wrong thing. Yeah. David knew what the Word of God said about committing adultery. But yet, he's asking God for a miracle. A miracle for his life. Okay. I always encourage people that when you come to God, to, first of all, humble yourself before God in a way that you're not asking for something, but thanking God for what He does for you every day in life. I see David as a person who is committed something, but he's learned something a lot bigger than what his sin was. You see, later on in the psalm, he cries out, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." You see, when you know what you got, and you tasted it, the Word of God said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." When you've tasted that goodness and you've lived it and you've had it, if it's taken away, believe me, you'll understand and you'll know. For people, couples, you're married or what have you, companionship with each other is so fantastic, because when one goes, you realize and you want to do things, but your partner can never come back. If they left and they passed away, it's something that you have to live with for the rest of your life. If you love someone, tell them and show it every day of life, because I'll tell you what, you have no idea when God's going to call you home. Yeah. The Word of God says, don't let anger or sin, you know, be with you when you go to sleep at night, because, see, you don't know whether you're going to wake up tomorrow or not. Yeah. Only God knows that. We live in a country where, by the grace of God, we have great liberties, okay? We enjoy a tremendous life here, okay? And the only one that's given it to us is God. Our leaders in our country don't understand that. Our forefathers did. They realized and they understood who God was, and they weren't looking for a great nation. They were looking for a godly nation, and we had it, and we've lost it. Yeah, I hope that somehow, some way, we respond to the goodness of God before it's all over with, because we can look back at the Bible and look at what happened to all of those kingdoms who didn't believe in God and what happened to them. Amen? David is crying out that his heart, okay, my heart aches for what I've done. You know, please, God, make it right. The Word of God says all the issues of life come from where? The heart. So that each and every one of us, okay, understands and know that by the conscious state that God has given us to know the difference of right and wrong, we know when we offend someone and when we don't. Amen? And if you have, you know, please make it right for yourself. David was talking about broken bones. Those broken bones were a shepherd when a sheep would go astray, would break its legs and carry the sheep so that the closeness would come back together with them. And that's what David is praying to God, to heal him, so that he can have that walk again with God, so that he can have that relationship with God again. You can promise God that you're going to be good from now on, that you will change. I can tell you a story about myself. I offended my wife, and I asked God to help me to change my life. When I did that, I didn't tell my wife that I had asked God for that. I didn't tell my children either. I just quietly asked God for myself, help me to be a man of God, turn my life around. And it was quite a while, but one day my family realized who I was and what I believed in, but I never told them who I was until God let them know. See, when you have done something wrong to God, don't promise God that you're going to change. Ask God to change you, to learn from what you've done, so that in the process of time, whoever it is that wants to single you out for what you've done, you know, they're welcome to go ahead and do that, especially if your walk is back with God and you're walking with him and you're enjoying life again. And it's something that, for me, was a tremendous blessing in my life because I didn't deserve that. And just like David, yeah, every day of life, we're here to serve people, to help people, to do our best to be like Jesus Christ was in reaching out to people. And every day of our lives, if you don't apply those things and you're looking at life all for yourself, be careful. One of these days, you're liable to get what you're looking for, and it's not what you're hoping for. You see, it's quite a difference in your lives to know that you have a right relationship with God and enjoy a right relationship with God, because the Word of God tells us, by their fruits, you will know them. You see, you know yourself. You know your fruits. You know if you're bearing fruit. You know if your relationship is right or not. Only you and you alone can answer that. See, not so much going around telling people. The opportunity always comes up for you to show who you are. Okay? And only God, if you have God inside of you, will display you. Remember what he said about Jesus? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If you're pleasing God, God will let you know. He says he makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. You see, the joy of having a right relationship with God is to be honest with God and sincere. He doesn't sacrifice. The Bible in Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beg you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. See, this is what you need to do with God. God will take care of the rest. You will have that joy and that peace that only God can give you. David goes on in his psalm, and, you know, then he prays for the nation, he prays for the people. But you see, he's done the most important thing, get right with God. And this morning, I'm just going to tell you that If you have something in your marriage that's not right, tell God about it and ask God to make it right. And you make it right with your wife or your husband. Get your walk with God in a manner that wherever you go to and whatever you're doing, people know that you belong to Jesus. The apostles, when they were arrested, the word says that they knew that they walked with Jesus. And you see, the reason they knew that was because they were not the same men before Jesus had come into their lives to what they were now. And it's the same way with you and I. See, it's beautiful to come to church. It's beautiful to come and hear the Word of God. But you have to apply it to your life. You have to be obedient to it. Jesus said, "You call me Lord, and well that you do, but why don't you do what I tell you to do?" See, apply. We're coming, we just had Thanksgiving, and now we're coming to Christmas, and families will come together, okay? Share with them the love and the joy that only God can give you, and the peace that only God can bring to you and your home. Amen?